Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate the free programs at worldviewradio.com, WVWTV.com? Do you appreciate the fact we put out a 24-hour-a-day stream of free television? By the way, did you know that's free for you to watch, but it's not free to us? We spend thousands of dollars a month in pushing out free programming. We have to pay the bandwidth. Every time someone listens to a radio show, watches a TV show, we get a bill. We have to pay the bandwidth bill. That comes to thousands of dollars a month, not counting the cost of our IT guys and all the other costs that go with producing television, the guys in the control room, and so much more. If you appreciate WVW Broadcast Network, would you partner with us? You can partner with us and help us push out free programming as a ministry of WVW Foundation, because you know what we could do? Put it all behind a paywall. But instead, we said, let's not do that. Let's push out programming for free as a ministry of the WVW Foundation. Would you please consider making a contribution right now at WVWFoundation.com? That's WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. You can also use our phone number and make a contribution over the phone by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Thank you for supporting free programming through WVWFoundation.com.
This is Brandon House Live. Whether the issue is law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, government, or national security, Brannon brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
All right, good evening. Glad you are with us. We're going to be joined tonight by Mickey Withhoff, the mother of Ashley Babbitt. We're going to be joined by Rebecca Terrell. We joined by Dr. Andrew Huff, Susan Swift, and Andy Woods. Is that a lineup tonight or what? That's a lot of people. We're going to have to hustle and keep it moving tonight to get it all in. Today I did my radio show on a tech guy who told 60 Minutes that artificial intelligence is learning a language that they were not instructed to learn or taught how to learn. How did they learn that language? And that leads to question. Is there something going on in the tech world, in the AI world? Here's the question really I should ask. Is there a merging of demonology and technology? That's catchy, right? Is there a merging of demonology and technology? Do we see anywhere in the Bible where there was the merging of demonology with technology? Maybe Genesis 11, Tower of Babel? Or how about Revelation 13? Will that be the merging of demonology with technology, the mark of the beast, no one can buy or sell, tracking everybody and everything? Well, what if artificial intelligence wasn't so much about computers, but could it be that there is demonic activity going on? You know, when I was growing up, people fooled around with tarot cards. I didn't. I was instructed by my parents to have nothing to do with those things. But people fooled around with tarot cards. They fooled around with their horoscope. They fooled around with even a Ouija board. Well, a Ouija board would be considered kind of analog in technology terms, right? How about today you actually just ask your chatbot? You ask a AI. Well, what if the AI really isn't so much a computer, but demons that have then begun to pose as individuals? You know, a lot of transhumanism is about what? Loading your mind up to the internet, all things connected to the internet, right? And many of these transhumanists, they believe the lie of Satan of Genesis 3. You won't die. You can just live forever. And you can load your brains, i.e. your mind, because you really can't load your brain. Your brain is the matter, the gray matter. But you can load your mind to the internet and live forever, they say. Well, what if these entities people are talking to, they're told, are their relatives who have been loaded into the metaverse or into another reality online? What if what they're really talking to are demons that have hijacked the technology? Could that be possible? What about Revelation, where 13, it talks about an image set up in the temple, the third temple, the tribulation temple. The prophet, the false prophet, sets up an image, and it speaks words of blasphemy. Could that be artificial intelligence, i.e. demonology, mixed together? We'll get into all that tonight with some very interesting articles, as well as we'll bring on pastor, attorney, and president of a seminary, Dr. Andy Woods. Let's move quickly. Joining me first is Mickey Whithoff. She joins me, I believe, tonight from her car. She always goes to the D.C. Gulag to support and encourage those political prisoners each night. Mickey, thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey, Brandon, how's it going? Yes, I am in the car outside the D.C. jail, where we do hold a vigil every night from 7 to 9. We're at 260 consecutive days here. Earlier, we were in the federal courthouse, and before that, I had visitation with Jessica Watkins, who was a convicted oath keeper here in a D.C. trial, where she was tried, in my opinion, unconstitutionally with four other defendants, five of them at a time, which is, you know, how they've been doing things in D.C. right here. Right now, the Oath Keepers are the Proud Boys are on trial, five of them at a time. So, you know, we see things like, you know, exculpatory evidence not coming in, evidence being delivered late, lack of access to their attorneys. And so, you know, we sit in the federal courthouses and watch these trials go on and just try to make people aware of what's happening.
Do you ever fear for your own physical freedom with all you're doing, Mickey?
My physical freedom? Well, I have been arrested once. But that was brief. I was arrested on January 6th for laying flowers at the Capitol in memory of Ashley, Kevin, Roseanne, and Benjamin, the four unarmed American citizens that died on January 6th, 2021. But not really. I think that, you know, we've developed a relationship with the police out here. There are probably about 10 police cars behind us that keep us separated from us and our counter protesters who aren't here tonight, but are here most nights across the street with bullhorns and whistles and spreading their message and exercising their First Amendment rights. Because, you know, but we do realize that even though we don't agree with their message, we do agree with people's First Amendment rights. And so, you know, you have to support their right to be out here as well as ours.
Here's a headline from National File, our friend over there that runs the National File. Here's the headline today. This is what caused me to reach out to you. Kevin McCarthy told Ashley Babbitt's mother that he never watched the video footage of Ashley's death. Quote, I think police officer did his job, end quote, McCarthy said, despite not watching the video. Wow, what do you make of this story here?
Well, that's actually exactly what happened. You know, we were we've been going to congressional committee hearings, and I was at one with Marjorie Taylor Greene, where she said that, you know, she knew that Ashley Babbitt was murdered, and addressed me being in the room. And then later on that day, that's when Speaker McCarthy was asked if he agreed with Marjorie Taylor Greene as to Ashley's murder, or if he thought Michael Byrd was just doing his job. And he said he thought Michael Byrd was just doing his job. So, you know, we did request meetings with him, and he did, to my surprise, he did agree to meet with me. And then even to my bigger shock, when I met with him and I asked him, you know, I told him what I heard him say, and this asked him if he had ever even seen it. And he told me, no, he hadn't watched it. And he made me two promises before I left there that day. That was on the 23rd, and I've not heard back from his office, but he told me that he would absolutely watch that, and that he would look into the whereabouts of a 74-year-old man, Howard Richardson, who was missing in the system or in the hole for 6 to 8 weeks, and his family hadn't heard from him. And he did look into Howard Richardson, but as to whether he's watched the murder of my daughter and would have an educated opinion next time he's asked, I don't know. I don't know. His office has not been in contact with me, but we will be in congressional hearings tomorrow, and maybe I'll get some answers then. But there's a committee hearing tomorrow headed by, I believe, Jim Jordan, the weaponization of the American government. So we will be there in the halls of Congress or in the congressional meetings tomorrow. And Congress comes back. Congress came back today, actually.
What was your response when he said, no, I have not watched that video? What was your response to him?
Well, I was really surprised. And, you know, I thought that he was very present in the moment, and I did think that he gave me his time. But at the very last minute, I found out that I would be going to the meeting alone, because I had planned on addressing that issue and then letting some good friends and some well-educated, well-versed people on January 6th handle the rest of the time, so that we would use our time most wisely. And when I found out I had to go alone, I really, it was really important for me to remain focused on what I was there to deliver the whole message, because, you know, no matter what he says or doesn't say, I'm never going to get my daughter back. But I think that she at least deserves the respect if somebody is going to speak about her, that they know what they're talking about. So, you know, I would appreciate him taking the time to watch that and see what the rest of us see, and know that Michael Byrd was absolutely not just doing his job, that my daughter was murdered by this government and nobody has been held accountable for it.
Tell me more about who you visited with today. It was an attorney with Proud Boys?
Well, we spent some time in the Proud Boys trial, but I was here at the jail visiting Jessica Watkins, who is an oath keeper. And she was convicted a couple months, along with five other oath keepers, Stuart Rhodes, Caldwell, Haroldson, and oh my gosh, I can't remember. And Jessica Watkins and... oh my gosh, there was somebody else, but I'm sorry, I can't remember. But yeah, all five of them at one time, at one trial. So I was able to get in. And you know, when we first got here to hold vigil on the corner out here outside the jail, these men hadn't had visitation in over 2 years. And they now have that, thanks to some pressure from the American citizens and the actions of Congressman Troy Nels. They now have in-person visits with their families. And so we're proud of that. And as well as some other, you know, progress we've made. We have little wins, but these men are still being overrun by the court system. You know, they're being charged duplicitously, excessively. 7 years for people that didn't even go in the Capitol or assault anybody or break anything. We just think that's excessive. And we would also like an actual investigation into the events of January 6th, because we know that the January 6th committee hearing was a show, a bunch of lies. You know, they held that hearing without mentioning Ashley Babbitt, Roseanne Boylan, Kevin Greeson, Benjamin Phillips, or even Michael Byrd, because they tout him as their hero. And to me, he's a murderous rogue cop. And, you know, but if he is their hero, they should have put him on the stand and asked him some questions, because he was very much a part of the events of that day. And I think that we deserve some answers from him.
So some of these people are now seeing their families in person for the first time in 2 years.
Yes, yes. We're 800 and... I think 30 days into this political hostage crisis and men being, we still have men pre-trial detention in this building behind me. So 2 years later, still having had no trial.
And for some of them, how long will they have to wait, you think?
Well, things are starting to move along now, and the federal courthouse is actually overrun with January 6th charges. There's like 11 sentencings just this week. And I myself attended three trials today and could have gone to at least four more, but there just is only so much time in a day. But yeah, they're just in and out like a factory with a 99% conviction rate, because the juries here in D.C.
And what's the average length of time?
For the sentencing or the trial times?
Sentencing.
Sentencing, well, we're seeing people come out of there with 5 years, 7 years. We had a 25-year-old Patrick McCaffey, or Patrick McCoy. His name is spelled kind of, I'm not sure how to say his last name, but he's a 25-year-old man that just got sentenced to 90 months. So that's a lot of time for a young man. And, you know, like we've always said, it's not our position that everybody that came here that day was well behaved, because obviously some people committed some crimes, but we need to look into what precipitated that, you know, because I've seen Capitol Police not try to de-escalate the situation, but actually engage American citizens in warfare, and to, you know, launch over a line of agitators and into a peaceful crowd. And we would like to know who that first line of agitators are, because we know there were FBI operatives, CIA operatives, Bustin, Antifa, and other nefarious actors there that day. And we would just like to have, you know, an accounting of who did what that day. You know, why was the National Guard denied? And what purpose did all of it serve? What about the pipe bombs? You know, we still don't have answers to that. And they can do facial recognition on everybody that was in, you know, within 2 miles of the Capitol, but they can't figure out who the pipe bombers that are on, you know, video laying pipe bombs. They can't figure out who these people are, and I'm just not buying it. So I think we need some actual answers into what happened that day. And you know, January 6th committee, the representation from the Republican side, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, who Adam Kinzinger donated to Michael Byrd's Give, Send, Go. So I don't really find him a non-biased participant. And there were no questions and answers from You know, any attorneys, it was just a one-sided presentation of the facts. So what we need is an actual investigation, because not only was Michael Byrd not mentioned by the January 6th committee hearing, he was never interviewed by the police. And the Capitol Police operate under an internal review system. So if, unless the Capitol Police tell you there's been an issue internally, you don't know that there's a problem with the Capitol Police Board. You know, Michael Byrd, he's the one that shouldn't have been there that day. He had prior excessive use of force issues, and he had also left his loaded weapon in a public restroom for somebody else to find. And it's my opinion he should have been fired in 2018 when those things happened, and then he would not have been there to be so trigger happy and murder my daughter.
Yeah, wow. Mickey, give us your website, please.
It's 4ashley.com, the number 4ashly.com. And there's a call to action page. You can also, there's a link to write the J6 prisoners if you want to in the 16 different facilities across this country, or donate to their commissary or their individual gifts and goes, or just follow them along and see what happens. There's also a link to the vigil that we live stream every night.
Well, thank you, Mickey, for all you're doing. We really appreciate it. We appreciate you continuing to represent so many that cannot be there with your presence each and every night. All you're doing online to track their stories, to help them raise funds for their canteens, for the food, because the food they get, I guess, is just absolutely horrible unless they can afford to buy extra. So thank you for all you're doing and for keeping us updated here.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we'll definitely be getting you back. Thank you, Mickey. Mickey, checking in. Check out her site, will you guys? Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Mickey. Ashley Babbitt's mom, Mickey Withoff, checking in. Wow. All right. Joining me now is Rebecca Terrell. Rebecca is with The New American, and she's been a guest with us before. She joins us tonight. I saw a few stories today, and I called her about these stories. And before I could even tell her what stories I was calling her about, she said, well, I'd like to come on to talk about, and she mentioned the stories. And I said, well, these are some of the stories I'm calling you about today. Rebecca, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here. How are you, Brennan?
I'm great. Great to have you back with us. Thank you so very, very much. I wanted to have you on to talk about some of the very troubling things I'm seeing. You know, we're talking about one of them being an Oregon bill looks to remove parents from children's abortion decisions. I'll have Susan Swift on about that in a little bit, and the abortion pill in the Supreme Court. That's one. That's an attack on parental authority. Another one, all of Washington State GOP, these stories are all linked on my aggregated news site, folks, worldviewreport.com. All Washington State GOP vote no. All Dems vote yes to allow hiding kids from parents for sex changes. Really? Hiding the kids from their parents. I mean, kidnapping them. Well, as goes California, so goes a lot of the nation, right? And so California passed out of committee a bill they're working on to do the same thing. Washington State's following up. By the way, Washington State's also working on legislation for what is called excess compensation. Excess compensation. If they think you're being compensated too much, they want to put a cap on your income. And of course, they're also, like so many, working on reparations and minimum incomes around the country, mandatory minimum incomes. So where are they going to get that money at the state level, unless the federal government gives them? Because the feds can print money, the states can't. So I guess Washington State is looking at an excess compensation tax. $150,000 is enough. That other million you made, that's going to go to taxes so we can redistribute the wealth. Let me say what I did on my radio show today. If you're living in Oregon or Washington, get out. How much longer are you going to stay? Why would you stay? Why would you stay behind enemy lines? When the Civil War starts, and I pray it doesn't, but it seems as though they're anticipating one, and many experts like Robert Spencer and others writing, and I did a documentary that came out in December of 2019 talking about the fear and the concerns of a Civil War. Michael Savage wrote a book about it as well a few years ago. But if there's a Civil War, you realize in Oregon and Washington, you're going to be behind enemy lines. So you might want to think of getting out. The Jews didn't, many of them didn't heed the warning and get out of Germany or Poland fast enough. Maybe when they start working on legislation for stealing your kids and cutting off their genitals, that might be a sign to get up and get out of there. So all of you in California, Washington State, Oregon, that are conservative, patriotic, the liberal, lefty, Marxist, LGBT crowd, for Pete's sake, stay there. Do not come to the Mid-South where Rebecca and I are. But for the rest of you God-fearing folks who are constitutionalists, come on down. We'll leave the light on for you, as they say. You know? Rebecca, what do you make of all this?
Well, I can agree with you up to a point, because I think that what we need to, we don't want people immigrating to our turf who are just going to lay back and let the same thing happen here that happened on their home turf.
I agree with that. Yep.
Don't immigrate unless you plan to activate and become active. But the best thing to do would be to stay home and take over, you know, get active and don't let these, we know from the reaction to Bud Light lately, most people don't like it, all of this woke culture, this trans support. You know, this isn't a winning go woke, go broke. You know, we know that this isn't the popular way to do things, and get active, take your state back. It's your state. It's your home. If you care about it, and if you care about your kids and their children and, you know, future generations, take it back. We already have the means to do that peacefully. We don't have to resort to war. You know, look
yeah,
into
we don't
your-
want a civil war, but. I agree. We don't want a civil war, but man, they just seem to be pushing it. And you see the dichotomy between the blue states and the red states. The, you know, the more patriotic, God-fearing conservative states and the radical progressive states. I mean, here's a screenshot. This Senator Marco Lilas, however you say his name. Tonight we passed Senate Bill 5599. To ensure at-risk youth have access to shelter when seeking gender-affirming or reproductive care, trans youth have been under a nationwide attack, but the Washington legislature continues to fight for trans rights. Wait a minute, trans youth have been under attack? I thought it was a trans person that went in there and killed three little children and three Christians, adults at a Christian school. I didn't realize it was the other way around. Did I miss something in the news?
It's Orwellian. It's saying the opposite of what is actually true. And people, we need to stop using the verbiage of the left. We need to acknowledge that all of this is very much demonic at its origin. You're handing your children over to, I mean, anybody who raises children knows that raising children is like playing whack-a-mole with the devil anyway, right? But this is actually handing them over lock, stock, and barrel. And we know from groups, like there's so many groups, Internet Safety 101, there's Enough is Enough, there's Covenant Eyes, and the kids get involved in this online. This is the result of us abandoning our children to screens, really, because groomers are everywhere. And they're grooming these kids from under age 10. It's shocking. It's like 20% of online porn use is children under age 10 who are actively seeking porn videos online. And they get involved in these with others who they think that they are their peers. And they're not. They're older. They're online groomers. And they trap them into porn. They're calling this bill out in Washington, and I think also the one in Oregon, that don't say groomer laws, but that's what's happening here. And the thing that you sent me to earlier, Brennan, you were talking about the was something that came out of the UN declaring that all of these sex crimes with minors should be decriminalized. They shouldn't be crimes anymore. I will tell you, I have a friend who did some time in a federal prison. And the one thing that even prisoners won't put up with is child molestation. You come in there with a child molestation charge, you better check yourself into the SHU, the special housing unit, which is solitary confinement, and get transferred. They have special prisons within the federal prison system just for child molesters, because if you get put into general population in a regular prison, you will be killed, because even the criminals won't put up with you. So this is fundamental.
Wow.
This is insane. That people are actually...
Here's a tweet.
Go ahead.
Yeah, here's a tweet from Katie Davis Court. Washington State passes Senate Bill 5599, gender-affirming care for minors. This bill grants minors the right to transition genders, stripping parents of their ability to consent. It will now be a crime if a parent doesn't allow their six-year-old to change genders. You know, when I look at what's happening in Washington State, when I go back over to Worldview Report, I look at what they're doing in this article up here related to Oregon. Oregon bill looks to remove parents from children's abortion decisions. When I scroll down the page, I see another one here. Here we go. UN agencies report subverts age. UN agencies report subverts age of consent, proclaims sex with minors may be consensual in fact. Article at the Western Journal, my friend Floyd Brown, who runs that, a Switzerland-based group issued a report urging nations to end the criminalization of various acts, the most notable being sex with a minor who supposedly consents to the activity. Folks, how does a minor consent to this? There are certain things a minor isn't able to consent to. That's why they don't get a driver's license. They don't have the intellectual, the emotional coordination to drive. They don't have the stature, a lot of them, yet to reach the wheel and the pedals. They're not allowed to vote till 18, even though Dems want to make it 16. They don't have the wherewithal to make good, sound decisions. Their brains aren't even fully developed until, you know, well past their teens, and yet we want to say a child, what, 12 and older can have sex with an adult? They cannot consent. This is what NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association, this is what the ACLU, attorney Ginsburg, argued as an attorney for the ACLU, wrote a paper in 1977 arguing for lowering the sex age limit to age 12. Now, you go online and look that up, the left will try to tell you that's not true, because what they're saying is, oh, she didn't argue for that. She wrote the paper. Oh, give me a break. Quit splitting hairs. She wrote the stupid paper, submitting a paper for the ACLU to lower the sex age limit to 12. This is what I deal with in my book, if I had it here, Grave Influence, Alfred Kinsey, who said kids should be sexually active by six, okay? This is what all of this tells me, Rebecca. This is the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. I don't know how many of our audience knows about that, but I began writing about that in the early 90s, wrote extensively about it and a whole chapter in my book in 1995. We're one of the last nations to not ratify this thing, thankfully. But as you know, this treaty would give children the same rights as adults. So sex change operations, abortion, sex with adults, access to pornography, it gives them all the rights. And if their rights are violated by their parents, the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child guarantees them an attorney and access to the courts to sue their parents. It sounds as though, since they haven't been able to get this treaty ratified by a two-thirds majority vote of the Senate, that what they're going to do is just pass legislation in various states till eventually, voila, we've got the UN Convention of the Rights of the Child.
Right. They know that our government is set up that way, where a lot of things are still at the state level and even at the county level. And so they're attacking at that level. This is a great example of why we need to get out of the United Nations altogether. But going back to what you were saying about, you know, can a minor consent? What they're doing here is they're excusing groomers, because groomers start by just asking for regular pictures. Just, oh, send me a picture. I want to see what you look like. And it's just a friend, you know? And so they start sending pictures, and then they start to get a little bit more intimate every time. And now you have 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds who are consenting to sending pictures of improper pictures, you know, where they're in the nude, and then they consent to meet. And that's where the rape occurs. And it is rape. It is child rape. And there's a really, really interesting, there's an exorcist priest who has a channel on YouTube called Census Fidelium. His name is Chad Roberger. And he talks about this. He says in 80% of rape cases, because of the violence of the act, because of the demonic origin of the act, a child or a rape victim can become possessed, actually demonically possessed. That's what I say when I say we're handing our children over lock, stock, and barrel to demons. I mean it literally. This is absolutely horrible. This is the lowest, basest thing that we could possibly be talking about. There's nothing worse.
It's horrible. And to think that you got the United Nations. Now, this is the same United Nations, and this report was created by the International Committee of Jurists alongside the United Nations group UNAIDS and the UN's Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, according to the news release. You know, this is, again, the same UN, same United Nations that is got the World Health Organization that very soon here next month will be deciding on amendments to the International Pandemic Treaty that could give them complete control over the U.S. under so-called state of emergency, a health emergency. Now, what is that health emergency going to be? Is it going to be a pandemic they release, a plandemic, if you will? Will it be a health emergency because of dangers of guns? Will it
guns, climate change, being mean to trans people? You know, it could be a health emergency on any, you could declare anything. Yeah, at this point.
And you have the same UN that puts out a report saying, you know, kids ought to be able to consent to sex with adults. This is the same UN that could send in UN troops to monitor America and restore the peace and enact these rules because we've given sovereignty to the UN. You know, Alex Newman, your colleague at The New American, talks about the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of documented cases of rape of children, of women, grown women, but also children by the blue-helmeted perverts at the UN. So isn't it interesting they push for normalizing sex with children? Well, the UN soldiers are notorious for raping children. True or false?
True, absolutely true. And you can see that through. And this is, what we're seeing right now is people's complete lack of understanding of what's going on in history, and not just ancient history, but recent history throughout the 20th century. When you see these UN peacekeeping forces come through, they're not keeping peace. They are instituting slavery. And that's what we're looking at. If we allow this to continue coming, like you said, it's coming from the West. Everything comes from the West Coast and this contagion that we're suffering. So we've got Washington on the East, and then we've got California, Oregon, and Washington State on the West, and it's like they're closing in on us. We gotta fight back. You're right. I mean, when I say fight back, I mean through legal means. I don't mean through civil disobedience, but we still have our Constitution. We don't need to give that up. We need to make sure that stays put. We have, I think I told you, I just got back this weekend from Michigan, from the Michigan Conservative Union's convention. Had wonderful speakers there. And in fact, our Joanna Martin, from Tennessee, she's one of our neighbors. She gave a wonderful presentation. They have several different new constitutions that they've already drafted, pushing for this constitution of states across the country. They're just waiting for that 2/3 majority, and then they'll call a constitutional convention. They've already got the new constitution written, and it has nothing about rights coming from God, nothing about the federal government being reined in by a Bill of Rights. It is anarchy, slavery. That's what they have in store for us.
And yet we have many people on the right. Many people on the right, even those who are supposedly come out of the religious right, the homeschool religious right, pushing the idea of a constitutional convention or an Article 5 convention. And apparently there's a lot of deception, stealing people's names, writing letters to legislatures, acting like, hey, support the convention, Article 5 convention. We want you to support that. And then Alex Newman tells me that when they went to look up who these people were and asked them, did you really write the member of your legislature asking them to support the Article 5 convention? No. They're like, no. Well, someone wrote a letter in your name using your name. So now they're apparently hijacking people's names, or I don't know if you call it identity theft. Sure sounds like it to me. To send letters to state legislatures trying to convince them that the people, the patriots, want this. Are you hearing these same reports, Rebecca?
I am. Well, I mean, think about it. If they can do that with our elections, if they can steal your identity for the election, they can steal your identity for a petition, you know, which is so much easier. So,
yeah. All right. Let me show you this real quick. This is coming from Western Journal. The Western Journal, the report listed 8 such principles and urged the removal of laws criminalizing the following. Okay. So this report that the UN is also pushing is urging the removal of laws criminalizing the following. Number one, contraception and acts harmful to unborn children, such as alcohol and drug use. What? Do they now want to make it lawful for a pregnant woman to drink and do drugs?
Exactly. And all the harm that can do to a growing infant. And that affects that person for the rest of their lives. And it, keep going. So we've got a list there. We need to go through that because every single one of those.
Two, obtaining assistance in or providing an abortion. Three, sexual conduct with a consenting minor and same-sex relations.
Incest.
Four, prostitution or, yeah, that's right, same-sex relations. Yep. Right. Minor and same-sex relations. So, yeah, I guess it also you're talking here about homosexual acts as well with a child. Or same-sex, are you saying same-sex relations? What do you think that word means? Is that
well,
beyond?
I think what you're talking about right there is homosexual relations, but also you're talking incest too. What they're doing is they're protecting incest
okay.
as well. That's horrid.
Because
think about it. Usually when minors are taken advantage of that way, lots of times it is a family member who does that. It's not always a groomer. Or sometimes a groomer is a family
right.
member.
Prostitution or sex work. Look at that one. Four, prostitution or sex work. Okay. By the way, if you legalize this and you legalize sex with children, that means you're going to have legalized little minor girls to be prostitutes, right?
Right. Exactly. And what's happening here is the government is setting itself up like we tell you what you can and can't do, right? Which is in the place of God. And it should be, it's completely inverted, which is also a sign of the demonic, where the government, the people are supposed to tell the government what to do, not the other way around, right? It's God, man, then government, not government. Forget about God, government, and it tells man what to do. And man is the slave.
Absolutely.
And all of the, that's what
five
all of
obtaining
the,
assisting in number five. I got to keep moving real quick. Obtaining assistance in or providing gender affirming care. Six, non-disclosure of HIV status resulting in another's exposure to HIV. That's very interesting because one of the founders of postmodern thought was Michel Foucault, the French philosopher. He liked to infect his lovers with AIDS. He was a gay guy. He liked to infect his lovers with AIDS and called it a whole new level of exhilaration of murder by sex. I have that footnoted and documented. Number seven, drug use, possession, purchase, or cultivation for personal use, and then begging, sleeping, cooking, washing, urinating, or defecating in public. That should be legal. Welcome to America. The UN wants these things to be legal around the globe, defecating in public. All right, we got to go. Crazy times. Closing comments and your website, Rebecca?
Absolutely. Well, I'm at thenewamerican.com, and I'm also on social media. I'm on Twitter, and I'm kind of antisocial when it comes to social media. But you can find me on all those normal places. But we do like to favor Rumble now since they don't censor the way the others do. So look up The New American on Rumble as well.
Awesome. Thank you, all, as always, for being with us, Rebecca, and for all you're doing over there at The New American.
Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate you, too.
Rebecca checking in, Rebecca Terrell checking in, thenewamerican.com. All right, joining me right now is Dr. Andrew Huff. Dr. Huff, it's been a while since we've had you on. I wanted to get you back on. Thanks for being with us tonight. We don't have Huff. We have Swift. All right, well, let's try to get Dr. Huff. Well, joining me then is now Susan Swift. Susan, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us, Susan.
Thanks for having me back on.
Hi,
it's
Susan.
Really good to be with you, Brandon.
You as well. Thank you so much. I wanted to have you on. I don't know how much of our conversation you just heard. Here's the United Nations pushing for this new report. UN agency report subverts a age of consent, proclaims sex with minors, quote, may be consensual, in fact. And we went through that. But I also want to go back to what I was talking about related to, Oregon bill looks to remove parents from children's abortion decisions. I want to talk about that before we get to the Supreme Court and emergency hearing at the Supreme Court. Respond to these as, you know, someone who's been on the ground there working in California, running one of the longest pro-life organizations in America out of California.
Yes. I am the vice president of legal affairs at the Right to Life League, which is indeed America's first pro-life organization. We were started in 1967. And California really is leading the way in the abortion on demand 24/7. That's where it got started in 1967 with the first therapeutic abortion bill. And it sounds like Oregon is just taking California's lead because years ago, California got rid of any requirement that parents even be notified that their child is obtaining an abortion. Not even forget consent. That was thrown out a long time ago. We're just talking about parental notification. That was struck down as well under the guise of privacy. So a 12-year-old or even perhaps maybe a precocious 8-year-old who, because there are some young girls who can start their periods very early at 8 years old. It's called precocious menstruation. So she could get pregnant at 8 and go to get an abortion without parental knowledge, never mind consent. So that's really dangerous. It's again, we are stripping away parental rights. We are interfering. We're having the state interfere between parents and children and destroying that relationship, almost as though the state believes that it has a right to raise our children for us.
Yeah, well, we just talked about a bill out of Washington State with Rebecca. And I'm sure you've heard about it by now. All of Washington State Dems vote yes to allowing hiding kids from parents for, quote, sex changes, end quote. I mean, this is really getting out of hand, what is happening.
It's radical, designed to strip away parental rights and to gender mutilate children. We're doing the same thing. Senator Skinner is one of these guys down here in California. He's a senator who's actually trying to hide transgendering children from their parents in school. That's another bill that's down here as well. SB 107 allows the state, California, the state, to take possession of a child away from their parents so that the child can get gender transitioning or gender affirming care. I call it gender mutilation. So yes, this is all about denying parental rights to raise their children, and it's empowering the state to transition and mutilate children under the guise of the law.
Let's talk about what's going on with the Supreme Court. Is there some kind of emergency hearing with the Supreme Court?
Yes, there is. And different places have spun it different ways. Some places have stated that Justice Alito has restored mifepristone, the abortion drug. Well, that's all fluff and nonsense, because all he's done, Justice Alito, is the judge that hears emergency appeals out of the Fifth Circuit. So he took a look at the case that I'll explain to you and said, yeah, let's give both sides 5 days to file some briefs with us by tomorrow at noon Eastern time, so that we can then consider whether or not the Supreme Court should step in the middle of this going on. So here's what happened about 10 days or so ago, maybe last week, a Fifth Circuit District Court, a lower federal court in Texas, ruled that the FDA has not followed its own procedures with respect to the chemical abortion drug. It was a group of pro-life doctors that filed. They've been petitioning the FDA since 2000, saying, hey, FDA, follow your own rules. You are not following the rules with respect to mifepristone, the chemical abortion drug, also known as RU486. You have to follow your own rules. Well, the FDA kept ignoring them and putting it off and delaying, et cetera, et cetera. So finally, these doctors said, enough is enough. We're filing a federal lawsuit. They went into Texas in a district court level. I think his name is Matthew, I don't know how to pronounce it, Kaczmarek. Anyway, Justice Kaczmarek, or Judge Kaczmarek, then issued a preliminary injunction. A preliminary injunction says, while we're deciding this matter, as I am, I'm going to continue hearing the matter, but for the meantime, I am going to issue an injunction so that no one can continue to use this drug that the FDA might have approved without following its own rules. So he basically banned the use of the chemical abortion drug. He allowed time for that to be appealed. He said, I expect it to be appealed. And he was right. The FDA appealed it up to the Fifth Circuit, and the Court of Appeals there said, well, now not so fast. And pardon the pun, they split the baby. What they did is they said, well, we are going to allow the use of mifepristone, of chemical abortion drugs, to continue. We're not going to support the total ban that the lower court, the district court, put in place. But what we're going to do is we're going to roll back the restrictions that the FDA has done away with. We're going to put them back to pre-2016. So we're only going to be able to use chemical abortion pills for up to 7 weeks gestation, not 10 weeks like we had currently. So 7 weeks gestation, and we're also going to stop all of this mail order chemical abortion, you know, by mail. So those are the two restrictions that the Fifth Circuit put on mifepristone. So the total ban is been destroyed, I guess, by the circuit court. And then, of course, the FDA appealed that ruling as well. And that's when Justice Alito stepped in to say, all right, I'm going to have an emergency. I'll listen to this. Why don't you go ahead and send us your briefing by Tuesday, and then the court will decide whether or not we're going to do anything during the pendency of these proceedings. So it's just right now it's at an administrative level. It's not substantive, but the issue really in the underlying all of this is whether the FDA followed its own procedures back in 2000 when it approved the drug, because it was RU486 came out of France, and it was the Bill Clinton administration that pushed the FDA to approve this. And Bill Clinton administration also partnered with the Rockefeller Population Council. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, right? So they were determined to get this chemical abortion drug passed through the FDA back in 2000. And what the plaintiffs in this case, these pro-life doctors and Aplog, what they're saying is, hey, you didn't follow your own procedures. You approved this drug without looking at certain the side effects and the risks to women. This is a dangerous drug, and you should never have approved it according to your own restrictions. So that's underlying this whole issue going forward.
Wow. All right. So give me real quick before we go to Dr. Andrew Huff, and then Dr. Andy Woods, give me what's going on in Texas. The left, you're telling me tonight in a report, the left is intimidating a judge down there. Can you tell me about that, Susan?
Yeah. Yeah, MSNBC is already doing its opposition research on this Texas district court judge, and they're kind of using innuendo and smears and trying to delegitimize his ruling, because he's saying that, well, this judge intentionally misled the committee when he was being nominated. He didn't disclose these writings. Everyone knew that he was pro-life, et cetera. But what they're trying to do now, this is typical Alinsky-type tactic. It's a personal attack.
Yes.
And judges cannot respond to the media attacks. They can't. And the media knows this. What MSNBC is doing is trying to attack the third branch of government, our judicial branch. And to me, this is starting to flirt with the idea of sedition, because what they're doing is they're coming dangerously close to inciting a rebellion against the authority of the state, in this case, the district court, because they don't like the ruling. And you'll remember this. This is when Senator Chuck Schumer, who's the majority leader in the Senate, remember when he stood outside on the Supreme Court steps and he threatened Brett Kavanaugh? And he said, you will reap the whirlwind. You remember that? And then what happened? Just a little bit later in June, we had a crazy leftist who was all upset about the Roe versus Wade overturn. And he came to Brett Kavanaugh's house at 1 a.m. He had a knife. He had a gun. He had duct tape. And he was there to murder Kavanaugh. This is right after Chuck Schumer threatened the justices in case anybody's watching. This is exactly what MSNBC is doing. They're starting to try to destabilize the notion that this district court judge has a valid ruling. They're trying to say, well, we don't like this ruling, and therefore we're going to look into his background. Obviously, he is misleading. He is misrepresenting himself. What they're doing is they are destabilizing the rule of law. And you'll also know two different representatives. AOC was one of them, and there's one, a woman who's also a Republican representative. Both of them have come out, and they've suggested that we should ignore the rule of law. That is incredibly dangerous. This is starting to flirt with the idea of sedition. When you are telling people to ignore the rule of law, to ignore our third branch of government, our judges, if the laws don't matter, then what are we doing anyway? Because again, what the left wants is they want abortion on demand 24/7, and any ruling that gets in the way is to be attacked, and then they go after people personally. So that's why they're suggesting that this judge is somehow lying or somehow doing something improper. And I hope to God that no one starts threatening him personally, just like they did to Brett Kavanaugh.
Absolutely. Right to Life League, Susan Squibb. Give your website, please, Susan.
Sure. It's righttolifeleague.org, righttolifeleague.org.
As always, thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you, and God bless you, Brandon, and God bless America.
Amen. Susan Squibb checking in. Check out their website, righttolifeleague.org. Before we go to Dr. Huff and then Dr. Annie Woods, take a look at my computer screen here, wvwtvstore.com. That's the website. Oh, you know what? In fact, let me do this. Let me take you to worldviewreport.com. Look at this headline right here. This I just saw last night. What it will look like if China launches cyber attacks in the U.S. And look, it's Yahoo News. That's not a conservative website. Not only is it Yahoo News, but it also came from Politico. Came from Politico as well. Just came out yesterday, April 16th. And you know what they talk about? They talk about, well, while much of the cybersecurity's attention is on fending off Russian hacks against Ukraine, American officials are increasingly worried about another growing threat, attacks by China on U.S. soil. Sounds like the tweet put out by Gordon Chang about a month ago. Well, sure enough, look what they get into. Energy. They get into our critical infrastructure and cyber attacks and cyber hacking. That's right, gas pipelines, our power grid. Then they get into water. They get into the issue of water and attacking the water sector to keep our water from flowing. Boy, that sounds just like the tweet put out by Gordon Chang a month ago where he said, understand if we go to war with China, they will attack us in our own country. They will attack us here on the homeland by going after us through the critical infrastructure of the power grid, bringing down the power grid, turning off the water. He says they'll carry out bioweapon attacks, poison attacks, he said. And then he said they would be involved in bombings. And now here's Politico, Yahoo News. Huh. Wow. Well, again, this brings us back to the fact we've been trying to tell people for a long time, get ready, be ready, something's coming, and you can choose from any long list of things, and you should be ready. And that's why in 2016, we put up a website starting to offer resources to our audience, not doing anything or offering anything that we don't do. I started getting freeze-dried food in 2013. We started offering it in 2016, 3 years later. So here it is, wvwtvstore.com. I want to show you something brand new we're offering tonight. Let's show the website. Here it is. If we go down the page, this is brand new tonight, folks. Here we go. Brand new, we're offering this, potassium iodine tablets. Okay, there are 60 capsules. This is for protecting your thyroid in a radiation emergency situation. By the way, the government, according to numerous reports, has been buying up millions of dollars of these tablets. Now, why is that? Why is that? But if there were to be a dirty bomb or a nuclear strike of some kind, you might want to have these. I want to Google that really. Potassium tablets. I want to Google that. Hold on, guys. Government buys quantities. Government buys huge supply. Let's see what pops up. Because I think I just read that not too long ago. The government. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Townhall.com. Why did the Biden administration just buy $290 million? No, that. $290 million in anti-radiation drugs. Huh. I wonder why the government would do that. Well, there you go, my friends. There you go. They're stocking up. One has to wonder why they'd be doing that. Various types of drugs dealing with radiation. Well, I'm not sure they're buying potassium. I saw another name of another drug they're buying there. But one of them would use would be potassium tablet. Okay. So we are offering those now. They just came in. They're manufactured by an FDA-approved facility, and they've just come in. And if you'd like to get a bottle of 60 capsules to have on hand during an emergency, follow and read the instructions, by the way. Keep out of reach of children. Do not exceed the recommended use and whatnot. This is for during a radiation emergency. I had one company we tried getting these from, and they said, we can't offer you those because we can't keep them in stock. I was like, really? They're like, yeah, that was like 2 months ago. We tried getting them from one company, couldn't get them because they could not keep them in stock. So they said, we can't give them to you because we can't promise you'll be able to fulfill it to your customers. So we do now have these on our store at WVWTVstore.com under new products, also under emergency supplies. Click emergency supplies. You'll find it there. Freeze-dried food, emergency supplies of all kind, WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. Be patient. We're running about a good 4 weeks behind, but we hired 2 new people last week, and they're really working long hours. So be patient with us. When we offered the free no shipping, which is over by now, right now, when we offered free shipping, sales went crazy, so it really put us behind now. We're trying to catch up. Be patient with us. You're getting free shipping, those of you that ordered, so be patient. You're saving hundreds of dollars. But for the rest of you that like to get in an order, get in line. The sooner the better. WVWTVstore.com. I know you can buy this stuff other places if you can get it. But you're also supporting us. It's a big part of our general operating budget, so everybody's winning. WVWTVstore.com or 901-468-9357. All right. Joining me now is Dr. Andrew Huff. Dr. Huff, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me back.
Let me show you, folks, his book. Here it is. You might remember his book, The Truth About Wuhan, How I Uncovered the Biggest Lie in History. Former Echo Health Alliance Vice President and Senior Scientist, The Truth About Wuhan. How is the book doing?
It's doing quite well. I'll actually be at the LA Book Festival this weekend signing books. The book has actually been bought by a Hollywood production studio, and it's going to be made into a feature film.
Congratulations. All right. I want to talk to you about the COVID origin story and how it's advancing. But in my notes here, I see the State Department is holding up the investigation illegally. How is the State Department holding up this investigation of the origins of the COVID release?
Well, it's quite simple. A bill was signed into law by President Joe Biden saying that they had to declassify everything related to COVID and China and the Wuhan Institute of Virology, that including the State Department, the CIA. And they are sitting on their hands and they're not turning over the documents. This isn't the first time that the State Department or the CIA has done this. Quite interestingly, the CIA is one of the agencies that can't make a determination as to whether or not the pandemic was of a natural origin or of a laboratory origin. And at this point, I think most of the country is convinced. I think most of the polls I've seen, 70 or 80% of people now believe that it came from the laboratory. And as I spell out my book, there's a mountain of hard scientific evidence that suggests that, and in my opinion, proves that. I think what's going to happen now next is that over the next 2 months, the Democrats will probably get on board with the Republicans and try to make this a blame China game. The sad reality here is that the advanced biotechnology to build SARS-CoV-2 was developed in American universities and laboratories here, and we transferred that technology to the Chinese where they continued that work. We actually outsourced a lot of this dangerous gain-of-function work, and some people say bioweapons work, to China. I think it was a really bad idea. And one thing that I discuss in my book is that I believe that this was an operation to collect intelligence on the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Well, about a year ago this time, Dr. Anthony Fauci really quickly mentioned that and admitted it in an interview. So, you know, I don't know if the American public's ready for it yet, but the truth will get to that point, because once everyone understands the government, both the House and the Senate, accept the fact that this was a laboratory leak, well, the next questions would be how and why.
Wow. Let's talk also about what's happening to you personally. What is the FBI, DHS, DOD, what have they been doing to you in your social media accounts?
Well, recently, the latest adventure with the federal government was that I was in my Twitter account clearing out my old sessions, so my login history. So if you don't close or log out of your browser correctly, it will stay logged in, and a hacker can man-in-the-middle attack your Twitter account that way, and they can delete followers or they can censor your traffic. And when I went in to clear out the session history, all of a sudden I noticed the location of my computer hopping between different cities. And when this happened, I screenshotted it. And then I went and searched in Google Maps for government offices, and an FBI office popped up in every one of these locations. And I tested it with my VPN on, VPN off. So what suggests is that my traffic was being routed to these FBI offices or U.S. government offices. I don't know if it's servers or actually employees sitting there. The tweet went viral quite quickly. But this is just further evidence of the lengths that the U.S. government is going to censor the truth about this disease. I think they're accepting the fact now that everyone's talking about the lab leak, but I'm still having my tweets censored related to the aspects of this coming out of American laboratories. And those are hard facts. I mean, when you look at the genetics and the people who developed the techniques, Dr. Ralph Baric being one of those, everyone's going to know in a hurry where this came from.
Yeah, absolutely they are. All right, let's talk then. Well, let me just say this. Obviously, then they're very concerned about what you're presenting in your book, which now they're going to get more concerned because it's now being made into a movie, right?
Well, absolutely. And the one thing that's been fun for me, at least, my one bit of enjoyment in this process is watching each chapter of my book, which goes in chronological order, be validated. And other scientists do work. There are more leaks. There are more releases in terms of information from FOIAs or other sources. And it's getting validated. And, you know, I really stuck my neck out there by publishing that book. You know, a lot of people are calling me a crazy conspiracy theorist. But I'm not. I'm a scientist, and you know, I operate based on facts. And unfortunately, what this whole thing led to was the development of a vaccine, which isn't a vaccine, which is harming and killing millions of people. And our pandemic response to this terrible man-made disaster actually has made things worse.
Let's talk about you're headed off pretty soon for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who we hope to interview again real soon and have on here. Liz is working on that for us. You're headed off real quick for where RFK Jr. is going to be announcing his run for president on the Democratic ticket. Tell me about that.
Well, he's announcing his campaign in Boston on Wednesday. I don't know how many people are going to be attending. I received a phone call from one of his assistants and a text saying, you know, I'd like you to be there. And I'm just thrilled that he's running, presumably to the right of President Joe Biden. He would be the first primary candidate in history to actually defeat an incumbent president. It's never happened before. I think Lyndon Johnson, it almost happened to him back in the 60s. So what I'm hoping here is that this helps our country return to some sense of normalcy from both the right and the left. Let's get people back into power that can actually work on solving the corruption problems, not being attacking each other from both sides of the aisle. I mean, it's really ugly to watch both the left and the right going at each other the way they are. I think most of America and most independents want there to be civil discourse around issues that matter and not just all this focus on wedge issues. And I think Robert F. Kennedy has that ability to unite the country.
Well, it sure would be interesting to watch him take on, if he became president, the big pharma. I mean, he's so well known for his fight in the courts on this, but it'd be interesting to see what he would do with the FDA and the CDC and how he would respond to the WHO and so much of what they're trying to do, not to mention I think he knows and has said publicly the CIA killed his uncle, President John F. Kennedy. I'm very suspicious that they were also involved in his father's murder, to be honest with you. So it would be very interesting to see what a President Robert F. Kennedy Jr. would do with these agencies like the CIA, the FDA, the CDC, and then, of course, how that he would handle as a president, you know, international organizations like the WHO. It would be the Democrat version of watching Donald Trump. So for the Republicans sitting on the edge of their seat watching Trump, this would be us sitting on the edge of our seat watching a Democrat, because he'd be going after some pretty powerful institutions. A lot of us would be rooting him on.
Oh, absolutely. And I completely agree with your assessment. And I think it'd be the first time if he beats Joe Biden, where either a Democrat or Republican, when they're elected, I'd be happy with either outcome or accepting of that. And I think that's exactly what our country needs, are two good choices. I wonder where he stands on positions like the Second Amendment. I'm hoping he comes out pro 2A, or he doesn't want to move the needle too much further, because I think that would actually help him be successful in Midwestern states, especially in the primary, because I think most people in the Democratic Party, especially in the middle of the country, see this woke agenda. They're not happy with it. They don't like the way that President Joe Biden is leading the country and pulling it so far to the left. And I think if he goes to the right and he takes some of these more centrist issues, I think he'll win.
Well, and there are those out there saying what they need is to have a Trump RFK Jr. ticket. I've seen people calling for that. Hey, why not go give us a Republican and give us a Democrat and the two guys run together, which isn't that what John McCain talked about doing with Joe Lieberman? I think, there was talk of John McCain picking up Joe Lieberman. So that would be interesting, too, to see that kind of thing. That would really drive the deep state nuts, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know if Robert Kennedy or Trump would agree to that or vice versa, but that would be the kind of thing that would just crush the deep state, because you'd basically have both sides of the country coming together to say that we're fed up with this corruption. I mean, this corruption is ripping our country apart, just at so many different levels. If you talk about the corruption within the NIH, the CDC, the HHS, it's just one terrible decision after another. The bureaucrats, if they try to have voices of opposition, for example, in vaccine policy, they're either forced out of the organization or they have to quit. And they have nowhere else to go, because they're not going to go to the pharmaceutical companies that they're trying to regulate. I mean, we have such terrible regulatory capture in our country, and it's within every U.S. government agency, the IRS, the FDA, USDA. It's been completely captured. It's basically one giant crony capitalist system. Everyone thinks that we're living in a capitalist society, but we're not. Everything's just heavily subsidized by the government, and you can't have a seat at the table unless you agree to do business with the big companies and give them a slice of your company, essentially, or a royalty or some other type of business agreement, so that you can get access to the big piles of cash.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, then finally, what is your take, Dr. Andrew Huff, on the WHO and these amendments, I guess, coming up next month that would give the WHO sovereignty over the U.S. to declare a health crisis? That could be a gun crisis. You know, they got a health crisis because of guns, or a climate crisis or another pandemic. And then all of a sudden we got the World Health Organization, the UN, running America. I mean, this is nuts. What is your take on this international pandemic treaty?
Well, it's really interesting to watch the debate. So right now they can't agree to what the definition or operational definition of pandemic is. And if they're having those kind of difficulties, I'm trying to see how this will actually play out in the future. And if you actually look at the meat of this pandemic treaty, what it really is, it's subsidies from the U.S. government and the wealthy nations to all the poorer nations around the world. The one thing that's in the fine details of this treaty is that it talks about intellectual property transfer in detail. And what that means is companies like Pfizer and Moderna are going to have to transfer their intellectual property to third world countries so that they can have equitable vaccine access. Now, you can imagine how companies like Pfizer and Moderna feel about this. The other thing that's part of the pandemic treaty, which is a good thing, is that it reduces the immunity clauses for these vaccine manufacturers and makes them provide evidence to prove that their product works. So I'm surprised that companies like Pfizer and Moderna are not throwing, big, huge piles of cash all over the planet to oppose this in the media, to put hit pieces on it. And I think that's what's going to happen next, because this really doesn't make business happy. Another strange aspect of this is that there are PPE requirements, personal protective equipment purchasing agreements that will go into place internationally to help spread the distribution of PPE internationally. Well, who pays for that? Western nations and the United States. So, you know, this sounds like just increasing taxes or increased deficit spending. And I don't really understand why any one country wants this to happen. It really seems like the globalist agenda that they're trying to push this on everyone so that they can mandate and control the flow of information and have a coordinated response from the one person, that being the WHO director, who Graydonis completely screwed up the pandemic response. They totally missed the fact that this disease was spreading around the planet in August or September of 2019. And this is the guy that will be in charge of declaring the next pandemic. It's like a dictatorship for international public health policy. And that's what's so strange to me about it.
Absolutely. Here's the book, The Truth About Wuhan, How I Uncovered the Biggest Lie in History. Dr. Andrew Huff, former Echo Health Alliance Vice President and Senior Scientist. I guess they can get it at Amazon.com, or do you want them to buy it off your website? Which one would you prefer?
You can pick up a signed copy off my website at AndrewHuff.com, or you can get it off Amazon. It's easy. And if you actually go to the Simon & Schuster and look up the book, there's a whole list of different retailers where you can get the book. You can get it at Walmart, Target, pretty much any big box store.
Okay, excellent. Dr. Andrew Huff, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Hey, it's good seeing you again. Thank you for having me back.
No, we'll get you back. Great show, great interview. Already getting emails saying such. All right, don't forget, before we go to Dr. Andy Woods, don't forget, if you appreciate what we're doing here, we need your support. One way you can do it, well, let me give you two ways you can do it. One is to go to MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com, use the promo code B66. If you use that promo code, you get savings, we get credit. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and much more. Go to that camera shot to show my gorgeous girl laying there, will you? She is laying on the Delta attested and Delta, pull down the lower third if you would. There you go. Get her hanging with her head off. Delta tested, Delta approved. Oh yeah, I'm talking about you. You heard me say your name. My Pillow pet bed. There you go. And you get your pet one as well, but not just a MyPillow pet bed like Delta has. You can also pick up sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and more. Use that promo code B66. You get savings. We get credit. And by the way, they have a sale on the Percale sheets right now and the sale on the slippers. What were about $150 slippers now, just $25, limit of 10 per person. Hey, another way you can support me is by going to WVWFoundation.com. Just simply go to, I don't think I've ever even show this site, www.foundation.com. Let me go there real quick. Go to, I don't think I ever go there. There we go, www.foundation.com. All right? Here you can go to WVW Foundation, make a contribution of any size. We appreciate it. Over on my channel, wvwtv.com, I carry a lot of shows, a lot of programs like that of Dr. Andy Woods, Trevor Loudon, Ivan Raiklin, Annie Cyrus, Dan Eastman, I'm leaving somebody out, The New American TV. I carry all those shows for free. I don't charge them, and I pay all the bandwidth bill. You go over and watch all my shows and all the replay of my shows. They're free. We don't charge you. It's open there for you to watch. But yet, did you know my bandwidth and storage bill for those files and to compress those files and send them out is over $11,000 a month? So my foundation exists in part to help push out free programming as a public service and in some cases a flat-out ministry. My foundation also sponsors our Sunday night service. I was here last night, 8 p.m. Central, teaching live. I opened the Bible, and in fact, I got my Bible sitting right here. I opened my Bible, and we looked at the issues of the day through the lens of the Bible and Bible prophecy. We do that every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central. If you appreciate that fact, know that all of this is brought to you in part by our foundation, WVWFoundation.com, if you'd like to make a contribution of any size. Thank you for that. Joining me now is Dr. Andy Woods. Dr. Woods, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Brandon, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, we're going to have to move very quickly. Here is a headline. I dealt with it on my show today for an hour, but I wanted to get your take as a pastor. Look at this headline. Google CEO says he doesn't fully understand how new artificial intelligence program called Bard works after it taught itself a foreign language it was not trained to and cited fake books to solve an economics problem. Well, this led me to do a little research on, the idea of, could there be a connection between the demonology and technology, Dr. Woods? Demonology, the word, you know, demons and the activities of demons, demonology and technology. I don't have time to go into it tonight, but here I did for an hour on TV today at 1 o'clock. It'll be on our website soon. Elon Musk, CBS, 2014, says artificial intelligence is like summoning the demon. And then he goes on, Forbes does, to say, have marketers struck a devil's bargain with artificial intelligence? And then I found this article from back in 2021 by Joe Allen titled Elon Musk and the Pagan Witch Who Summoned a Computer God. Goes into what was then Elon Musk's girlfriend, Grimes, and all of the things she was doing in regards to even having a song you can find on YouTube called We Appreciate Power. And it was basically he described Joe Allen did as a hymn to a super conscious computer god. The words include biology is superficial, intelligence is artificial, submit, submit, submit. And then they went on to talk about how this guy, Elon Musk, wants to sell Neuralink brain implants for our brain. He advocates for scrawny robot slaves, advocates for a universal basic income while praising China as a global leader in digitalization. He even said something about China being really cool, that China rocks. It was in an interview, China rocks. But then his girlfriend, I guess he had a child with, says she gobbles a handful of supplements every day to amp up her mitochondria. From that point, she told the 2.1 million Instagram fans, I spend 2 to 4 hours in my deprivation tank. This allows me to astro glide, like astro travel, folks. You know, your spirit leaving your body. And then it goes on to say that she has the concept album that has a goddess of climate change, a psychedelic space-dwelling demon slash beauty queen who relishes the end of the world. What? And then it says that she told Face that their digital life and their offline life, she added, the avatars that she creates allow us to play the strength of digital existence rather than being a human trying to navigate a world that isn't made for us. We also want to develop a new species that would be ready for the next evolution in media, something that can transport our identities to worlds that simply can't exist in reality. By the way, it makes you wonder with these transhumanists like Elon Musk, if they're really planning on loading their brain, their mind up to these computers and living, you know, forever in the metaverse, if you will. This leads to the question, Dr. Woods, demonology and technology. Do we see it anywhere in the Bible where they merge? And is it possible that these people that think they're talking to artificial intelligence and maybe one day, you know, these things are communicating regularly, they're not talking to artificial intelligence in some cases. They're talking to demons. In old school, you know, they used to grab a Ouija board. It's of the devil. Don't recommend it. That would be analog technology, talking to a demon or a past relative, quote, it's really a demon, through a Ouija board. Now they're going to do it through artificial intelligence and that relative who has loaded their brain or mind up to the internet. Or maybe it's just they want to talk to artificial intelligence. What if they're not talking to artificial intelligence? What if they're talking to a demon? Is any of this plausible with the merging of demonology and ideology? Pastor, lawyer, president, seminary, pastor, Dr. Andy Woods?
Yeah, let me just give you three quick examples. Number one, Nazi Germany. I mean, they were involved in some heavy stuff in terms of experimentation, genetic experimentation. And that society, I think it's pretty well documented, was a heavily occultic society. You know, Adolf Hitler's voice would change when he spoke to the masses. I think that can be proven. And that demonstrates that he was heavily connected to the occult. My second example would be the days of Noah. That, again, was a heavily technologically advanced society. In fact, when you go to Genesis 4, you'll see that they were using bronze and iron simultaneously. And, of course, post-flood, you had the Bronze Age and then the Iron Age, but they had both simultaneously at the dawn of history. And not long after that society was wiped out by the flood, you have the Tower of Babel incident where God said, look, if I don't stop this, nothing will be impossible for them. And so the pre-flood world and the Tower of Babel world was heavily influenced by the occult. In fact, we have remnants, I believe, of an advanced civilization all around us that was destroyed in the flood. And they got these technological insights, I think, from the demonic realm. And then the third example I'll give is where I think history is headed. It's into Revelation 13, where you're going to see a statue in a temple that speaks. And then you're going to see an economy where no one can buy or sell unless they receive some sort of mark or insignia on their right hand or their forehead. And obviously, these things can't happen without great technological advances. And what do you see also there in that same chapter, Revelation 13? You see Satan everywhere. Satan is the dragon, Revelation 13, verse 4, roughly, who empowers the beast. And the world is worshiping Satan on the account of the authority he gives to the beast. So whether it's Nazi Germany, whether it's the pre-flood world, whether it's the Tower of Babel world, or whether it's the coming world of Revelation 13, I am of the persuasion that advancements in technology like the kinds we're seeing today that have the potential of enslaving the entire human race, I don't think Elon Musk came up with those things through his own mind. I think there are sources higher than him that gave him those insights.
Yeah, I am very concerned about that as well. I noticed over there in Genesis chapter 11, where it talks about the Tower of Babel, it says that they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into the heavens, and let us make for ourselves a name, of otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." God had said, scatter out and procreate. They consolidated. We're building a world government. Verse 5 of Genesis 11. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they propose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. I went and looked up some of the original language in this text. Whatever they would set their mind to do, they would not be able to accomplish. They'll be able to accomplish. Nothing they set out to do will be stoppable. They're going to be able to do a lot. In fact, the language seemed to be, nothing will be inaccessible to them. Nothing will be inaccessible. They'll be able to access a lot. I got me to thinking, where are they accessing some of this from? We know there's a Tower of Babel. This is part of an occultic system going on there. Makes me wonder if they were accessing demonic information that helped them with some of their technology and their skills and what they were doing. What say you?
I completely concur. In fact, Babel in Hebrew is a compound word coming from two words, making up one word. Bab means gate. El means God. In other words, to quote those great theologians, Led Zeppelin, they were building a stairway to heaven. They were literally building a stairway to heaven. I mean, it was occultism on the highest level. And that's how they were able to do what they were able to do. That's how they were to access, you know, information and technology that gave them the ability to do something ahead of their time. And so Nimrod, who was the architect of this entire system, is a prefigurement of the coming Antichrist. And so what Nimrod did, the Antichrist will reproduce, we actually believe, in the same part of the world between the Euphrates and the Tigris. And I think that's what Revelation 13 is saying. The Antichrist is going to have all this technology at his fingertips, talking statues, enslaving the masses with, you know, what looks to be some kind of form of microchip technology. And where did he get that knowledge from? He didn't just, you know, get it by going to MIT. I mean, he got it because he was trafficking in the realm of Satan himself. Revelation 13, verse 4 indicates that, which was exactly what Nimrod was doing at the Tower of Babel. And so I think a lot of these technological insights that people attribute to human beings, I'm talking about the capacity to enslave the masses, was handed off to them from higher powers, which are really lower powers masquerading as higher powers, because Satan himself comes as an angel of light.
What do you think then? Do you agree with me that some of these people may be thinking they're engaging with, in the, whether now or in the future, engaging with a chat bot or some kind of artificial intelligence, but could a demon and Satan co-opt these things and make people believe that's what they're talking to when they're really talking to demons, which is why these things know some things that they haven't even been trained to know yet?
Yes, in some cases I believe that can happen. I also believe that these chat things that you're talking about can be programmed with bad information. Let me just give you one example. We had a fellow who follows our ministry who's in the tech world, and he got into a conversation with this chat thing related to Babylon. And he has the correct view of Babylon, and he kept asking questions about Babylon. And the machine had been programmed with the information that Babylon is not literal. It's allegorical. Most scholars take it as allegorical. And so he was having a conversation with something that had been pre-programmed to give him rigged answers. And he actually sent us the printout. It's fascinating. My wife read through the whole thing and sort of summarized it for me. A whole printout of this conversation that this very, very smart individual was having with this machine, getting what he knows were pre-programmed rigged answers. So either it's fallen humans entering something into the machine, but where are these fallen humans getting these ideas? I mean, if what you're saying about Elon Musk and his significant other are true, obviously they're trafficking in the occult. And yes.
Well, here's what she said. She went on to describe, she said this: the existence of consciousness seems like God to me. Maybe we've been looking outside ourselves for an answer, but perhaps we're the answer. Or maybe we're in a simulation that is more purposeful, being run by someone with a plan. Kind of interesting to see how he may have influenced him. Final question. Steve Bannon says, hey, maybe the Antichrist will be artificial intelligence. I think the word that is used for the Antichrist, pull that music down. I think the word that is used for the Antichrist shows that that's an actual man. But here's where Steve might find interesting. I bet that image that's set up in the temple by the false prophet could be artificial intelligence that speaks words of blasphemy. Correct, Andy?
Yeah, he will have the number of a man. The Greek is anthropos, Revelation 13, verse 18. Clearly a human being, but that doesn't mean he won't have at his fingertips artificial intelligence capable of enslaving planet Earth.
Or the false that image that is set up in the temple to speak blasphemy. That could be artificial intelligence, right?
That and the whole mark of the beast. So Revelation 13, if you're looking for artificial intelligence in Bible prophecy, those are the areas I'd send you to. The talking statue that you just mentioned and the worldwide mark of the beast system.
So demonology and technology in the Bible in the past, in the Bible in the future.
And in the Bible in the present, when you factor in Elon Musk. Of course, that's not in the Bible, but he's, you know, what did Solomon say? Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. You know, what has been will be again. And so what Satan gave humans the ability to do pre-flood, post-flood, he's obviously giving and will continue to give human beings the ability to do. And it's just a matter of when God is going to, you know, remove the restrainer and allow it to run full course.
Absolutely. AndyWoodsMinistries.org. AndyWoodsMinistries.org. Thank you for being with us, Andy. Folks, check out his website, AndyWoodsMinistries.org. Look at the website before we go. The orders are piling in for this. I knew our audience would want this because I wanted some for my family. So again, by the way, I had some of this on hold for my family for about, 10 plus years or more. So I knew it was time to get a fresh update. I bet you it's fun. I take that back. It's been like 15, right after 9/11. So what is that? 20? Yeah. So I got some of this right after 9/11. So it was longer than that. But I knew it was time to get some more. So I knew our audience would want this. So there you go. Check it out, WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. Thanks for watching. Take care. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate the free programs at worldviewradio.com, WVWTV.com? Do you appreciate the fact we put out a 24-hour-a-day stream of free television? By the way, did you know that's free for you to watch, but it's not free to us? We spend thousands of dollars a month in pushing out free programming. We have to pay the bandwidth. Every time someone listens to a radio show, watches a TV show, we get a bill. We have to pay the bandwidth bill. That comes to thousands of dollars a month, not counting the cost of our IT guys and all the other costs that go with producing television, the guys in the control room, and so much more. If you appreciate WVW Broadcast Network, would you partner with us? You can partner with us and help us push out free programming as a ministry of WVW Foundation, because you know what we could do? Put it all behind a paywall. But instead, we said, let's not do that. Let's push out programming for free as a ministry of the WVW Foundation. Would you please consider making a contribution right now at WVWFoundation.com? That's WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. You can also use our phone number and make a contribution over the phone by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Thank you for supporting free programming through WVWFoundation.com.